Well, we are continuing our series this morning. God never gives up. Amen? God never gives up. This is our part two of our series. And if you were here last week, maybe you weren't. We spoke about Jonah, the runaway prophet, the national hero. God tells him he wants him to go to Nineveh, and he's scared and he runs from God. He goes in the opposite direction. He's the wayward prophet. And so much is going on with Jonah. God is putting him in a different place, actually. He's running from God, but God does not stop pursuing Jonah. And we read, and we learned last week that he didn't just pursue Jonah, he pursued other people around Jonah and Jonah's life. So Jonah was called to the great city of Nineveh, the capital of the Syrians, the capital of the kings. The Syrians were wicked people. So I can't imagine God telling you in your life, I want you to go to northern Iraq and maybe witness to the people of ISIS there. You might say no, too. You might run. You might want to get on a Carnival cruise line and go the opposite direction, too. But God does speak to us. God does continue to pursue us and each of us in our lives. God's direction in our lives does not always make sense to us. You know, sometimes God speaks to us things that we just don't understand. It just doesn't make any sense to us. And sometimes he speaks to us, though, in unusual ways and maybe even unusual people. He has a way that he communicates to us, but he does this because God loves us. God never gives up on each of us. I don't know if you remember, but of the movie that came out back in the late 70s, Smokey and the Bandit. You know, y'all remember that? I think it was late 70s. Yeah, I remember that as a kid. I love that movie. It's kind of a silly movie, you know, a story of a guy who's driving a hot black Trans Am, I think, car. And he's got his girlfriend there with him. And he's trying to divert the police away from the bootlegger who's running the bootleg beer from, I think, Texas over to Georgia. And he's being chased by this pesky sheriff. And so it's Smokey and the Bandit. And you know, the sheriff is chasing him. Sheriff Buford T. Justice, played by Jackie Gleason. And Jackie Gleason in the movie often says, I'm in hot pursuit. You know, he's in hot pursuit of the bandit. He doesn't stop. He wants to keep going after the bandit. You know, he doesn't stop. He's the pesky sheriff after him. But Sheriff Buford T. Justice was pursuing Smokey because he was pursuing justice. But God pursues each of us. God pursues each of us also in hot pursuit because of his great love for us. And so if you have a Bible today, I invite you to turn to God's Word, to the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. Jonah, one of the 12 minor prophets, the wayward prophet Jonah, in about the 8th century B.C., Israel is enjoying a period of somewhat peace and prosperity. They had increased their land because God spoke to Jonah and he told King Jeroboam II, he said, I want you to increase your land. And God gave them favor and gave them favor over their enemies. So Jonah, the national hero, now Jonah is on the run. Jonah's not, he's a hero with the people, but he's not a hero with God. And so often as we look in this book of Jonah, we tend to focus a lot just on the Jonah and what he does and his life. But I want us to see today from God's Word more about what God is doing in the life of Jonah. And more importantly, what is God doing in your life today? So God pursues everyone in unlikely people, unlikely circumstances, because of his great love to redeem everyone. He did that with ancient Israel. They didn't always respond. And God pursues each of us today in unlikely people and circumstances because of his great love. Because God never gives up. So if you have a copy of God's Word now in your Bible, Jonah, by the way, I am reading from the English Standard Version. I read this translation, this study. This is the same Bible as the King James Bible, the NIV Bible, the New American Standard Bible. This is much more of a literal translation. It may be similar to a King James Bible, but it's not spoken in the King James. King James is a great Bible. It's a great translation, but I don't speak the King's language and I don't read the King's language. So for me, I study the text in the English Standard Version. So if you're wondering why, I hope I've answered those questions for you this morning. Jonah chapter 1, verse 7 through 16. And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots," meaning the sailors, "that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then he said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood for you. For you, O Lord, have done as it has pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. These men, these sailors, these mariners are in the life of Jonah here on this ship. Jonah has taken this ship to Tarshish, the uttermost part of the western part of the world known to him at this time and to most people. If you want to get away, Tarshish is the farthest place you can go. And so Jonah is fleeing from the Lord, and the Lord hurls the sea at him, a storm at him. He sends a sea at him. And so these sailors, these seafaring men, earlier in the text it said they were mariners, that they were men that knew the seas very well. And so this storm is breaking this ship apart. It's literally twisting it almost to the point where it's going to break this ship apart. And so they've done everything they can do. They've prayed out to their gods. They've casted cargo out of the ship to lighten the load so the ship won't sink. They've gone to Jonah. They've said, "Jonah, call on your God." And now they cast lots. Casting lots was an ancient practice. It was not God's preferred method of communication, but God allowed it. Casting lots did occur in the Bible. It was not God's preferred method of communication, but he allowed it in this situation. So they cast lots. And it comes to Jonah, and they're basically saying, "Jonah, what have you done?" And they're grilling him. They're interrogating Jonah. I can't imagine what it must have been like on that boat, literally going to sink at any moment, going to twist apart, fall apart, and they stop, cast lots, and want to have a sit-down interrogation with Jonah. But they do. And so they ask Jonah, "What is this? Where are you from?" And Jonah answers them. What was Jonah's reply? Jonah said, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the same Lord that made the land and the sea." The first thing we need to understand is that God pursues us despite who we are or what we've ever done for him. Jonah's response was, "I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord." It's kind of almost an ironic thing, isn't it? He's saying, I fear the Lord, but he's going the opposite direction from God. He's saying, "I'm a Hebrew. I've got this pedigree. I've got this heritage. I've got this relationship with God, the one and only true God, the living God, the creator of heaven and earth, of land and sea. That's me. I'm a card-carrying member. That's who I am." And so in this situation here with Jonah, we have to understand that despite of sometimes who we are or what we've ever done, our relationship with God is based on our relationship with God today. Not so much what we have done in the past. Jonah, not so much what you prophesied to the king and saved the country and being obedient at that time. Jonah, what is your relationship with me today? Jonah, where are you? Why are you on this ship? Why are you fleeing? And Jonah's only answer is, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. I reverence the Lord. I honor the Lord. I worship the Lord. But we get this almost, this irony here that's going on. And in situations in our own lives, we have to ask ourselves this as well. What is your relationship today with the Lord? May I ask you? You may say, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus Christ. I fear the Lord. So what is your relationship with Jesus today? And I'm not talking about a works-based type of faith. I'm not talking about a works-type salvation. The Bible says we can never do enough good to earn our grace to God. It's only by the grace that He has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. But based on that, based on your relationship, James 2:17. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. What is your relationship today? Because despite who we are or what we've done in the past, God still pursues us. He still pursues a relationship with each and every one of us. He pursues you to have a relationship that is deep and personal through obedience. He did that with Jonah. He pursued Jonah. He wanted that for Jonah. And He wants that for each and every one of us. God pursues us because He loves us. But God has plans for us. God had always used His prophets, kings, His people to do His work. God desires for each of us to do His work for Him. We are His agents through His providence for His kingdom and the building of His kingdom here in Macedonia. Whether it's at Normandy Village Elementary, whether it's Vacation Bible School, whether it's a sewing ministry, whether it's a Sunday school class, or ushering, or wherever, or music, or wherever you may be serving, or visiting other people, or outreach to others in your community, God has chosen you just like He chose Jonah for His purpose, to be His agents for His kingdom and for His glory. So God pursues each and every one of us despite that, despite what Jonah had done. In this, and he said, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, verse 9, who made the sea and the dry land. What was the sailors' response, these mariners, these seafaring men? The text said in verse 10, the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. These seafaring men were greatly afraid. They were exceedingly afraid. They knew the power of the sea, but this was a storm upon them, that it was the storm of storms that they had never experienced. And now Jonah confesses to them, this which you're fearing is made by the Lord, and the Lord is in control. And to their response, they were exceedingly afraid. But in this response with Jonah, what's Jonah's response? Jonah just says, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. What was Jonah's testimony here with these men? You see, God placed Jonah on this ship with these men for a reason. God's providence and each of our lives and our providence, God is going to place you in a place of position for Him to be a witness for Him, for His purpose, for His glory, for His kingdom. At any time of your life, and sometimes unlikely situations with very unlikely people, God pursues us even in unlikely circumstances and people. Verse 11, then he said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. This was an unlikely situation. Jonah had no plans to. He didn't know who he was going to meet, what was going to happen in his life. Have you experienced that in your life, in situations that God has put you, unlikely people? Sometimes we think that there are some people that God would never save. Sometimes there's people that we can't even imagine would want to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ, to repent, to come to faith in Him, to believe upon Him and to commit their lives to Him. There are some people right now, down the street, neighbors, the car wash, the grocery store, the workplace, the marketplace, wherever it is, there are some of the most unlikely people around you, and God has placed you in their lives for a purpose. God had put Jonah on this ship. Despite Jonah's disobedience, God still used Jonah as a witness for these sailors, despite of his disobedience. And he said, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. And these men responded. You never know what you're going to say to those around you, those that you come in contact, these unlikely people. And oftentimes we think that we're speaking to them, and oftentimes God uses them to speak to us. I believe God used these sailors also to continue to pursue Jonah through these sailors. He continued an unlikely place and an unlikely situation with unlikely people, these pagan sailors. God's providence uses all His creation at times to speak to us. But you know, in these situations that people we don't know and funny situations that happen, it just doesn't make sense to us. Has it occurred to you that just because it doesn't make sense to you, that it doesn't make sense? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. There are some things in our lives that, through unlikely people and unlikely circumstances, that don't make sense to us. But that does not mean that it does not make sense. And what God is doing in your life, and God is speaking to you, because God never gives up on each of us. Paul also makes the same declaration earlier in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. God's providence comes to each of us in situations and ways that just don't make sense to us. They certainly didn't make sense to Jonah. And sometimes they don't make sense to us. But there's things that we need to understand by being obedient to God and be obedient to Christ. And God uses these people in these situations to each of us. Job 9, 5 speaks about God's providence, God's divine providence. He who removes mountains and they know it not. Ecclesiastes 5:19. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and positions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. God desires for each and every one of us in unlikely circumstances and people to be a witness to us in ways that we just don't understand. There was a man who was 29 years old. He was blind, and he decided that he was going back to college and finish his college education. And he was blind, so it was very difficult for him. And God spoke to him and told him, I want you to have a ministry. I want you to minister to children at a blind school. And so he thought it didn't make sense, but he decided that he was going to be obedient. So he begins to mentor this child, this 4.5-year-old boy. And so this blind man, this 29-year-old blind man is mentoring this 4.5-year-old boy. And one of the things he's trying to help him with is tie his shoes. And the little boy can't do it. And this man says, yes, you can. And the little boy says, no, I can't. And he said, yes, you can. And the boy said, no, I can't. Back and forth. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. No, I can't. And so months went on with this man and this little boy, and he was going through his college courses, and it was difficult. And one day he just said, I can't do it. The strain of the schedule and what he was doing and the ministry that God had given him, he just said, I can't do it. It's too tough. And he heard this little small voice next to him that said, yes, you can. It was that 4.5-year-old boy. God uses situations and he speaks to us, perhaps unlikely situations, unlikely people that sometimes we think we're ministering to, and he'll often speaks to them. God spoke to Jonah in an unlikely situation with pagan sailors. Jonah, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. And these were pagan sailors, but yet God used these sailors to witness to Jonah. God pursues us even in unlikely circumstances and people, because God pursues each and every one of us. God's purpose for us. Join with me back in the text. I like to go back to the text. Someone said, spoke about preachers, that sometimes preaching is kind of sometimes like a pool. They go in and they take a dip and they come back out and they never get back in. So I want to get back into the pool here. So join me back here in the text. Verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not. These men didn't give up. They weren't going to just throw Jonah into the sea to perish. Although these were pagans, they weren't without some bit of a moral compass, a moral conscience upon them, and they didn't. They decided to go back to land. The text says that they rowed hard. They dug in. They were, we're not going to give up on you, Jonah. We're going to take you back to land. We're going to take you back to where God wanted you to go. But it didn't work. Despite their care and concern for Jonah, verse 14, although the sea grew tempestuous, they called out to the Lord. There's this shift now in the story. These sailors, they were casting cargo. They were praying to false gods. They were casting lots. But what was happening? And Jonah's witness to him, although Jonah may not have been living the life he was supposed to, Jonah did still witness to him. And they cry out to the Lord. Verse 14, therefore, they called out to the Lord. O Lord! They cried out. And in oftentimes, too, in just simple like faith, God delights when we just cry out to Him. In your own life, in times maybe when you came to faith in Christ, was it complicated? Was it simple? Maybe right now, today, there's some of you, maybe there's someone in this room that just needs to cry out and just say, oh Lord, and a simple prayer from your heart. Oh Lord. These sailors just cried out and said, oh Lord. May I ask you today, do you need to cry out and say, oh Lord? They cried out and said, oh Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood for you, O Lord. You have done as it has pleased. And they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea. The word hurled means sent. God hurled a storm at them. The sailors hurled the cargo out, and now they hurl Jonah out. They send Jonah out, and they get rid of Jonah, and the sea at this point is quiet. Their problem is over. They can stop. They can go home now. The problem that they were doing, all the throwing out the cargo, the praying to the false gods and everything, their problem is over. Case closed. Sea is calm. And in our own lives sometimes too, we feel like we say a prayer, case gone, problem solved, going on with my life. But these sailors didn't stop, did they? The sea calmed, but they didn't stop in their worship of the Lord. Then verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. They feared the storm twice, and now the third time we see the word exceedingly greatly. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. God pursues everyone's salvation, which comes from His pursuit. Anyone ever run away from home when they were a little kid? Yeah? No, nobody ran away from home? Just a show of hands. Anybody ever got mad, got angry when you were a little kid, ran away? There's another story about a little... there's a woman who wrote in her book, Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul. Lewis Kruger tells the story of her own 4.5-year-old son. And Lois and her husband were having one of those hectic days. They were having one of those days when everything was just falling apart. The phone was ringing, the doorbell was ringing, kids were crying, just all kinds of chaos going on. And their little son was acting up. Their 4.5-year-old boy was acting up. And all this chaos that was going on, all they could say to him was, "Stop, don't do that." And they were just trying to discipline him. And they got frustrated. And so they just sent their little boy to the corner and said, "Go stand in the corner." And the little boy felt alone, and he felt tired, and he felt just not loved. And he cried out, and he said, "I want to leave. I don't feel loved." And his mother heard his voice, Lois. And Lois responded because she remembered when she was a little kid, and she ran away from home, or she tried to run away from home. She knew what that was like. She went back to her own childhood days. And so she turned to her son and she said, "Okay, you want to run away from home? Okay." So she said, "Well, if you're going to run away from home, I'm going to need a coat, and I'm going to need a nightgown, and I'm going to need some things." And she packs a bag and she puts it by the front door. And the little boy is confused because he wanted to run away from home. And he said, "Mama, what are you doing?" And Mama said, "Well, if you're going to run away from home, I'm coming with you." And that's God. God pursues us because of His great love for each and every one of us. Because God never gives up. God pursues us. God pursued Jonah. He pursued these sailors. He pursued to prevent the destruction of the people of Nineveh. And God pursues each and every one of you. And in times in our lives when the hurt and the pain goes on, we don't always feel that, do we? The test results come back. The doctor's report. The phone call from the relative. The meeting with your boss. Sometimes we just want to say, "God, where are you?" But God never gives up. Not based on what we have done, but based on our relationship with Him today. Not based on just who we are, but our relationship with Him through Christ. And in times when people say, "Well, I just don't feel that love. Where's the love of God?" Let me tell you something. God demonstrated His own love for us, and that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. From the cross, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us because He loves us and He loves you and He loves everyone with a deep, pursuing love. That's His plan for all of us, for our relationship, for those who'd have a relationship, that we would foster it. And I don't know what that will mean for you, but what I do know is that by God's providence, God speaks and God has a great desire for each and every one of you and me to deepen that relationship with Him every day. To hear Him as He speaks to us in unlikely situations, maybe, and unlikely places, because God pursues us first to a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ.